This is CliffCentral.com.
Because it's the end of Women's Month, and because we're almost into Heritage Month, and also because we're talking about issues of identity and about Africans, it's trending all over social media. I thought, you know what? That's the one. Jabukanyile Maloe, one of my favorite songs ever, particularly because it's got that line that says Dak Dindu Yang Hlanyisa. It drives me crazy. I'm Phume Mashego. It's 7 minutes past 10 and you're tuned into Womandla. So I had this whole show lined up today. It was going to be all about spring. It was going to be all about what you can do this coming Wednesday, this coming weekend, because up here in Jozi, spring, we've gone right past spring. We've skipped it right over, and like summer has arrived in glorious fashion. We've had awesome, awesome weather. And of course, all the concerts in the parks and all the food trucks and all the outdoors type of stuff is happening. And I came across something that's really exciting. And I thought this one I'm going to talk to just for 5 minutes before I get into the real topic for today. Because now the topic for today is going to be about hair. Because everybody's talking about hair. Jade.
Hi, it's me.
Good morning. So you get to have this chat because you go live tomorrow on the 1st of September in Hyde Park with Good and Proper Eating. Is it eating?
Yes. Eatery. It's actually at Benmore Gardens Shopping Center in Stanton.
I need you to speak up a little bit because even though we've got you on the landline, you're a little bit soft. So you're starting like a food truck revolution. You know, we've got Neighbor Goods happening in Braamfontein. We've got Maboneng happening on Sundays. But you're going to be doing for the next, when is it? It starts tomorrow till November. You're doing...
Yes, so we're launching tomorrow on Spring Day, and we're running a 3-month pop-up, which will run through until the 25th of November. And we're opening South Africa's Truck Park, which is basically a collection of all the very best gourmet and artisan food trucks in one cool outdoor spot, which is at Benmore Gardens Shopping Center. And we're going to be open during the week, every Wednesday to Friday. So we're basically creating a new spot for lunchtime, for anybody that works, lives and plays in Stanton to come and hang out and enjoy some great artisan food, sunshine, outdoors and music.
And what kind of food can a person expect? Is it going to be like, because, you know, when you go to Maboneng or when you go to Neighbor Goods, there's like the world out there. What kind of food trucks are you bringing out?
So we're gonna be mixing it up. We're gonna be having a lot of different food trucks from time to time. The food trucks that you can expect to find tomorrow are food trucks such as Street Cuisine, Balkan Burger, Maison Belge, Zombie Chef, the Bohemian, Roaming Grind, Josie Car Bar. But essentially, to explain it, it is all gourmet and artisan food, from gourmet burgers and pizzas to fresh salads. Craft coffees, Belgian waffles and frites, Mexican food, just a real good spread of different offerings.
I just want to put a disclaimer out there. I am on a diet, and as I'm talking, I'm just...
Well, luckily for you, we do have some healthy options.
There'll be a Banting food truck.
Yes, so not a Banting food truck in particular, but most of the food trucks have options that cater for Banting as well. So, you know, if you're not having carbs on a particular day, there will be options for you. We also have trucks that are specifically doing salads, using a rye bread, healthy ingredients for sandwiches and that sort of thing. So we're trying to make sure that we really just accommodate everyone. If you want to binge on a particular day, you can. If you want to be healthy on a particular day, you can.
Fantastic. Why only 3 months? Why is this a pop-up? Are you moving somewhere else after that?
Yes, so this is our first one. This is a Good and Proper Food Truck Eatery's first pop-up. And we're piloting this. We have a really amazing partnership with Benmore Gardens, who's been wonderful and really instrumental in helping us get our first one going. And we thought it would be great to pilot it as a spring-summer pop-up and just see what the response is. But the intention is definitely to scale in to scale to other locations, not only in Joburg, but in South Africa, because, you know, there are no other food truck parks. And, you know, the food truck revolution going on at the moment. So we really want to create as many of these cool spaces for the food truck vendors as we can. And this will be the first one that we'll be testing out as a pop-up. And we may have other pop-ups, and we're looking at doing permanent locations as well.
Ooh, I'm definitely going to stop by tomorrow.
Wonderful.
I'm going to try a salad. I'm going to try and like contain myself, because every time that's why I don't go to neighborhoods, because I'm definitely the kind of person that's a food as entertainment person.
Yes.
Food makes me so happy.
Cool. Well, one thing I also want to mention is we're doing lunch, but we're also going to be piloting after work drinks as well. So we've got our bar vendor, which is Josie Car Bar. They've got a really cool retro style combi that's been converted into a bar. So for people that want to come for lunch during the day, please do. But we'll also be open into the evening for after work drinks and some snacks as well.
Thank you so much, Jade. I will keep an eye on that. I'm going to come through. I'm not going to come through often, but I'll definitely come through and check it out. Good luck tomorrow, madam.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
And since I read an article, you know, one of the things that I've done for as long as I can remember, like since high school, what I want to do on the first of spring is like go to Ellis Park, to the swimming pool. And I read a thing about all the swimming pools that aren't going to be opening on the 1st of September. So instead of going out and taking a dunk in a swimming pool, I might just come out and have a drink. Okay.
We look forward to having you there. Thanks so much.
Thanks, my darling. Keep
okay.
Well.
You too. Bye.
Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
Gosh, that just conversation just made me so hungry now. But I couldn't stop myself. I totally couldn't stop myself every day since Sunday. Everything I've read on social media, every newspaper you pick up, it was on the front page of the Star up here in Gauteng yesterday. And I was just like, this hair thing has gone wild. And I thought, this is either God talking to me, and if I don't listen, I will have done myself a huge, huge disservice. I met Hlengi on Saturday, and it was crazy. She's salon owner. She is businesswoman. She's a little crazy because I don't know what she's doing across the table from me right now. But she is also a hair loss specialist. Welcome, Hlengi Hans Ngidi.
Hello, everybody.
Thanks for coming on such short notice.
Thank you.
But we can't let a good crisis go to waste, right?
Of course.
And I'm running a hashtag saying save our hairlines. Because even though everybody's talking about afros and kids and what they should be allowed to do, what they shouldn't be allowed to do, I thought the relevant conversation to have today is if you're a mom, if you're a girl, if you are a mother, if you're a white mother to a mixed race child and you never know what to do with her crazy hair, this is the show you should be listening to. Hlengi, tell me, first of all, what the hell is a hair loss specialist? What do you actually do? Do you stop people from losing their hair, or do you help them get their hair back when they have lost it?
Oh, well, let's start here. Yes, you do stop people from losing their hair because you advise them. You tell them how to not, because, you know, we always say prevention is better than cure. So when you're a hair loss specialist, you get your client or you get your people to take care of their hair before they lose it. But obvious, once they lose it, you know, if you get people who have lost their hair, then that's, you take it from there. A hair loss specialist is not necessarily a hairdresser, because hairdressers, they deal with what is outside, and hair loss specialists, they deal with what is going on inside, you know. So that's a hair loss specialist.
Wow. Okay. So let's talk about looking after our hair.
Yeah.
We're coming out of winter. No. Most people have either been wearing dukes or hats or something,
yes,
or wigs.
Yeah.
So our hair is basically not taken care of over the past couple of months. So going into spring, going into summer, what are the top things that black girls out there should be doing to help their hair back into shape?
girls should just let go of braiding a little bit. Let's have our own hair. Let's showcase our own hair. So, and also they should visit the salon a little bit more. I mean, it's springs. So let it, let our hair have like some fresh air. So go for treatment at least once a month. Wash your hair. Not quite often though, because washing your hair every day can actually damage your hair because you're stripping off all the good things that is in your hair. So at least once a week, wash your hair. If you are an Afro girl and you feel like you have to wash your, or you are a lady that goes to the gym, you feel like you have to wash your hair almost every day, then introduce the co-washing. Co-washing is when you wash with a conditioner instead of a shampoo. So you can use a conditioner now and then to actually wash your hair with it. So, but the most important thing is, please let's take a break from braiding. It's summer. It's hot. Let's go to the salon, get the treatment. And let's wash our hair at least once a week, not after 3 months.
Well, I'm going to break this conversation up into three parts.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my mind, or at least in my hair life, okay, there are three types of ways that I normally wear my hair,
yeah,
which I think most Black girls normally wear their hair.
Yeah.
And one is plaits or braids,
mm-hmm,
or cornrows. Right.
Yes.
And then you see the sisters petting their hair because it's itching so much.
Yes.
What causes that? Is it just a Black girl thing? When you've got braids, your hair is going to itch.
Okay. The itchiness of the scalp is not the Black thing only. Scalp is the scalp. Skin is the skin.
I've just never seen white girls patting their hair like that.
They do. They don't pat, they stretch. They scratch. So, but patting the hair, it's because your hair has been tracted. It has been pulled. So now there's pressure on the scalp, and obviously our bodies are very intelligent, so they're gonna have to have kind of mechanism to suit itself to try and heal itself. Because of the pressure, the scalp would then get itchy, you know, and it's because we've plaited the hair. And then obviously you start developing a dandruff or sores because of the pullness of the hair. But it's not only because we are Black. You know, almost everybody does have itchy scalp.
So how? What do you do when your scalp is super itchy, when it's building up that dandruff?
First of all,
and you've got those cornrows on.
First of all, you need to communicate with your hairdresser. You know, you need to tell them when they're pulling your hair. So most of the time, we ladies, we keep quiet when we're in the salon. They pull our hair and then we're like, oh, as long as I'm pretty, it's fine. And then we go and take this spring or anadin.
Yeah, because
at night. No, but then there's a long-term damage, you know. And also when you're now always taking aspirins at night, you know, so that you can relieve the pain, it's not good for you. That's not pretty anymore. So you need to communicate with your hairdresser and you tell them, no, you know, you kind of like pulling my hair. Secondly, please don't keep the braids for too long because now the scalp, it gets warm and then it becomes an environment for bacteria. So it will get itchy. It will develop a dandruff. And also we keep on adding product on top of product without washing our hair. And the product build up also is a cause of itchiness. So let's.
What's too long? What is don't keep the braids for too long? Because people are out here getting braids in the hope that I can keep this for 2-3 months.
Mm-mm.
At a time.
No. braids. 3 weeks is too long.
After sitting for 8 hours, 3 weeks.
3 weeks is way too long. You know, so 3 weeks is the maximum.
Mm-hmm.
Take them off. Have a break at least for another month or so. You know, in actual fact, braid should be a treat. You know. Like, you remember I once said, you know, if you love chocolate, if you want to eat chocolate, let it be a treat. Same thing with braiding. A braid should be a treat. Because what we try to do is we hide our hair so much, the damage that we have done, and we want to just put cream on top, you know. And it's the very same cream that is damaging our hair. So braiding 3 weeks is too much. But also, if you feel like because of my budget, I just want to get real. Because of my budget, I cannot braid for 3 weeks and then take it off. Go to the salon and wash your hair while you have your braids on.
The salon can do it for you.
Of course we do it.
And how do you keep it fresh? How do you keep those braids fresh? What do you put in there?
Okay, first of all, washing. And there are sprays, the dry wash, they call them dry wash. They're available. We have retail, we have professional sprays. Personally, I love buying a professional product because I get advice from my hairdresser who will tell me how to use it, the ingredients that are on that bottle, and how long it would last, you know. So rather than going to a retail and buying from a retail, and besides, when you're buying exclusive products from the salon, you're actually supporting a small business.
La la la.
Yeah. So yes, so you can go to the salon every seventh day and wash it, or even you can wash at home. Get a good shampoo and a good conditioner, wash your braids at home, and then have a dry shampooing spray where you can just spray, and then it kills the bacteria, and also it removes the buildup of a product, and also just to look a different almost every weekend. You can style your braid as long as there's not too much pulling.
As long as there's not too much pulling. Then there's the natural hair. The natural hair.
My favorite, yeah.
It's your favorite, Mara. The natural hair is a problem because it's high maintenance for a lot of us. Like for me, it is high maintenance because I'm afraid of that afro comb. And my hair is thick, y'all. I've got that real kafirar. And when it is unbraided and untreated, when it's got no relaxer, those curls are stressed out and they stress me out. So what does one do with their natural hair?
Well, most of people, they say maintaining natural hair is difficult. I don't find it difficult. I find it fun. But also on the downside, sometimes when I look at the mirror, I feel like I look like a boy. You know, so that is the only thing. But
which is why earrings are important to exactly, us African girls.
You know, but it's not a bad thing. I look like my dad, and my dad was quite handsome.
Hello, daddy.
Okay.
Daddy's girl.
Yeah, definitely. But afro hair, you remember, you don't necessarily need to comb it all the time. You know, you don't. And there are ways and there are combs that are made to comb afro hair. Also, there are sprays. There are detangling sprays. I mean, there's a spray. I'm not going to mention the brand, but there's a spray called 25 Miracle Milk. It's amazing. It's salon exclusive. It's amazing. It's detangled your hair. It moistures the hair. So by the time you use that afro hair, everything just goes and it defines your curl as well. So there are products that makes maintaining afro hair an easy job.
So when I was younger, I was that girl. Sunday was the most traumatizing day in the history of the week.
Yeah.
Okay. Because Sunday afternoon, you're sitting there between your mother's thighs, ne? With that comb, with that comb combing you out. And she used to use this thing, and I don't even remember now, in a blue thing. Hair glow, right? That used to like make your hair soft, but it never used to make your hair soft enough.
Yeah.
So these detanglers, has hair care for African hair moved enough? Because when I was that little girl, it was many, 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 many years ago. Has it moved enough to a place where it's not that painful anymore? Because that's why a lot of women will then relax their hair. That's why a lot of women will relax their children's hair. Because you can't handle a screaming child as you're busy combing out those curls.
You see, unfortunately, our lives, as in general, media plays a big role in the decisions that we make concerning our looks, concerning our hair. If the relaxer is an in thing and it's been put on billboards and TVs and talked about on radios, and the celebrities are wearing relaxed hair, and everybody will go that direction. If there is perm, everybody that will go that direction. And then it's natural, everybody's going
the perm's
that direction.
Coming back in a big way in Joburg.
But you must remember that having a natural hair is not going natural. You are retaining natural because that's where it started. You are natural. So you're not going. So most of the time, ladies say, I'm going natural. No, you're not. You are retaining to your roots. You're retaining natural. But then talking about products. Again, products, they manufacture and they market according to what is on the season. What is the in, you know. So now what have happened is that you get exclusive brands that are really investing into developing good products for natural hair. Not only good products, but they're also investing in educating the hairdressers. Because now if you're a salon and you only specialize in, let's say, braiding, weaves, and a relaxer, you're going to run out of business, especially this week. Now, everybody wants to go Afro to prove a point. So you need to know, you need to be a hairdresser who knows how to take care of natural hair. Yes, the natural hair product has evolved.
Become better.
It has become better. And there are two brands, I'm not going to mention them again, that are really doing a great job in taking care of natural hair. I mean, now you have a shampoo that is specifically for natural hair, because natural hair has a tendency of not retaining moisture because it's coily or curly or too wavy. So wherever it's curled, the cuticle will open. So it doesn't retain moisture as much as a straight hair, for example. So now you have a product, a shampoo and a conditioner. You have a spray that makes sure natural hair retains moisture, and it's a deep moisturizing. So it has, the only thing now that is left is for us as hairdressers to actually go out there and educate our market, educate our clients to go to listen. It's not as difficult as you think to take care of your natural hair. And natural hair is beautiful.
I can hear it is your first love.
It is.
Natural hair. What about dreadlocks?
Well, dreadlocks still falls under natural hair. Okay. And the thing with dreadlocks is it comes a long way. You know, if there was a long savings awards, dreadlocks should get one. It comes a really, really long way. I remember when I was in church, I'm a church girl, by the way. I remember I was in
Hallelujah.
Church. When I was in church, our pastor, if you come with a visitor and he is wearing a dreadlocks, so it's like, okay, besingazi ukuthi sinesangoma. You know, that was
my mother used to say. I had dreadlocks for a very long time. And my mother, when I started my dreadlocks, her worst thing would be, you know, for her, dreadlocks were then either we rasta,
yeah,
or we sango.
Yeah.
So you must choose quickly and tell us all which one you are.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that was a perception about dreadlocks, and that they are unclean and they were never allowed in schools, and there was no proper care for dreadlocks, you know. So hence I'm saying they come a long way. And then thank the Lord, some brand took an initiative, you know. We know who.
I'm gonna give him his due. Jabustone.
Yes.
There was a time when you couldn't do anything with your dreadlocks if it wasn't Jabustone.
Yes.
So he gets a shout out.
He came into the industry and actually cleaned up the industry. He made everybody to want a dreadlocks. Now, nowadays we see ladies with long dreadlocks up to their knees, which is a proof that yes, an African girl does have long hair, you know, because we always think our hair can grow up to what, 3 centimeters? And that's a lie. That is a lie. The reason why our hair, it grows but it breaks. So we gain 1 centimeter and lose 5 centimeters because of chemicals, you know. So dreadlocks is a true testimony that yes, we do have hair, only if we could take a better care of it.
So taking better care of the dreadlocks, what does that look like? What does that mean? So how do you not become the sangoma dreadlock type?
Okay, taking better hair of your dreadlocks or even natural hair. Okay, let me stick to dreadlocks. It's really up to you. You know, whether you look like a sangoma, you have a right to. You know, like, if you feel like that is the look you want to go with, then it's okay. But okay,
everybody's got a right.
Everybody's got a right. But let's come back to the salon. To take care of your dreadlocks, I love dreadlocks line. They're loyal. They're smart. You know, you have to come to the salon at least once a month. So we'll wash your dreadlocks, we'll retwist it, and we'll style you. Because nowadays the styling of dreadlocks is a big thing for ladies, and it's neat. You know, again, it's a choice if you want to style it or not. But you have to come to the salon for a wash, a scalp treatment, very important. Because dreadlocks is a lot of pulling, especially when you're twisting and treating. It's a lot of pulling. Yes, you can lose your hairline through dreadlocks, especially if you and your hairdresser, you don't communicate.
You can lose your hairline with your dreadlocks. Yes. I thought the hairline loss was only dedicated to
The braiding.
And the weaves. And the
Keeping it real. On CliffCentral.com.
Like, everybody thinks weaves are going to get lose your hairline when you've got weaves. So dreadlocks can also lose your, yes, make you lose your hairline.
Anything that you remember, hairline is the most fragile hair you have on your head. You know, so anything that will pull it and twist it, it's going to affect it. You know, and you will, with dreadlocks, check the dreadlocks clients, and check people who have dreadlocks, their hairline also. So you have to have a good hairdresser who will know when not to style you and when to style you.
My favorite person with dreadlocks and a conked out hairline is Stevie Wonder. But he can't see. He can't see what his hairdresser has done. I
can't believe it.
I know it is Stevie Wonder's hairline. I'm just like, guy, it's time to get rid of the dreadlocks. But he can't see his dreadlocks, so he can't see what they look like.
Yeah,
so.
Which is a proof that you can lose hairline
with your dreadlocks.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a break. Hold on to that thought.
I am a South African. I carry the hopes and dreams of my country and the generations to come. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye, we believe the future of our country will be defined by our actions today, which is why we are committed to the development of our leaders. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Simply because we're celebrating hair. Michelle Ndegocello, one of my old school favorites, dreadlocks. Because we're talking about dreadlocks, we're talking about afros, we're talking about weaves, we're talking about black girl hair, because who isn't this week? This is the only place here on Cliff Central where you're going to actually hear black girls talking about black girl hair. We're really doing it. We're talking about how to take care of your hair, how to take care of your hairline. Thingy, before we went on that break, you're saying, so talk to your hairdresser. Don't let that person pull that hair too much. Come to the hairdresser often. Because that's the other perception. The perception is when you've got dreadlocks, you don't need to go to the hair salon all the time.
You do. Especially when you have dreadlocks. You know, you need to trim them. You need to do hot oil treatment. You need to twist them. You need to make them look sexy, if I may say. You need to look good in those locks.
Then there's the ever contentious, and there were some guys on Monday, I think, that were on the receiving end of a bad streak on Black Twitter about weaves. So weaves are a contentious issue.
Yeah, they are. But you know what is my take? There is no one look girl. I have a right to be dynamic. Today I can look like Afro. Tomorrow I can look like a weave. If I want to, I can implant human dreadlocks.
Halala.
Cut them. Go back to my Afro. Wear a weave. You know, we live in the dynamic community. I can be whoever I want to be. No one has a right to tell me I can't wear a weave. As much as no one has a right to tell me I cannot go with my Afro. Yeah.
So let's talk about taking care of the weaves.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, let's start with types of weaves. I'm so like, I wish I could get into it, but there's so many weaves on the market. And then I'm always worried that I'm going to buy this weave and then it's going to be the wrong weave. I'm going to be in the sun and it's going to kink up and it's going to look like a skirpot.
Yeah, it can get technical. Yeah.
So how does one choose the right weave? How do you know that this is the right weave? You know, is the right, and it's not like some synthetic hair that's not going to last very long in the sun. How does one know that this weave that I'm buying here is good quality weave?
Okay. This 100% human hair weave, which is a mixture of something synthetic and some human hair. Those weaves, they're affordable. You know, they usually they're not more than 450 rands. They're affordable. and they are 100% human waves, which is your Peruvian, your Brazilian, your Indian. And then within those waves, they are grades. There is a 5 grade, there is a 6 grade, there's a 7A, and lately there's a 9, which is the highest grade. So what you need to do is you need to feel the cuticle. So you need to rub against the cuticle to feel if this is a quality wave. And if you can feel the texture of the cuticle, then you must know, but not too much, because if it's too much, then the hair is damaged. But if you can feel the texture of the cuticle, then you must know that is a quality hair. And also you need to smell it, because they put this hair under chemicals to clean them, to process them. If it smells like Fritos, don't go for that hair. It's over-processed.
Okay.
It's over-processed. But as I'm saying, it's just way too technical. You know, mm-hmm. Some people, they say, this is how you check it. But also, there's Mr. Google. Google it and see how to differentiate a good weave and a poor quality weave. And also, make sure the weave at least matches the color of your hair. You cannot wear a maroon weave with a black hair. That's just not going to work. Unless you have an ombre where you want to be black on top and maroon at the bottom, you know. But make sure it matches. If I'm going maroon, at least let me put a maroon color on my hair so that I look natural. I look like it's my hair. Because there is nothing frustrating than a person wearing a weave and you can see what this person looks like, a Barbie. You know, it is so fake. Make it look. You remember when we were growing up how we used to think American girls
have wearing long hair.
Exactly. It's because they know how to install that weave properly.
Speaking of installing the weave properly, let's just talk about installing the weave properly so that you don't lose your hairline.
Again, we need to communicate with our hairdressers. No glue. Because some hairdressers, they put glue on your hairline. You know, anything that sticks is going to pick that hairline off. So don't use glue on your hairline. It doesn't matter what your hairdresser down Johannesburg says. Do not use glue on that hairline. No pulling. Do not. You know, it's always better to leave hair so that it blends with your weave than to plait everything in. Of course, there are people who wants to do the closure or wants to cover up. Most of the time, people who want to cover up are people who have already damaged their hairline. You know, and that's not a solution. You know, putting a weave on top of damaged hairline is not a solution. You're just feathering the problem. But no pulling. Make sure you don't pull. And also, again, like braiding, you cannot wear a weave for 3 months. That is too much for the hair to handle. Because the plaiting of the hair is a physical abuse of the hair at its best. You know, so 3 weeks is more than enough, you know, and also treat your scalp.
So again, back to the hair salon.
Back to the hair salon, that's how we make money.
So how do you... So now you've spoken with your hairdresser. You're not pulling that hair, whatever type of hair you're using. Let's talk about fixing damaged hair. How do you fix? How do you repair hair that has already been damaged? I'm listening to the show today and I'm like, oh dear, I've already damaged my hair and now I want to go back. Can you go back or are you doomed?
Are you talking about the hair or the hairline?
Both hair and the hairline.
Okay, let's start talking about the hair first. Yes, you can fix damaged hair. There are good products that can fix damaged hair. Because most of the time when the hair is damaged, it's either it's dry and breaking, or it's breaking. And the reason why a hair will break is because the elasticity is gone. It has low elasticity. And if it's dry, it's because there's something we call inside the hair, and I'm talking about the physiology of the hair, intercellular bond. Intercellular bond, it's what bonds the cuticle, the cortex, and the cortical cells together. And if the hair is damaged, it's because of that. It's like a cement. You know, when you're building the house, you put the cement in between. It evaporates, né? Because of chemical relaxers and everything else. So it evaporates. When that cement is gone, the hair will get dry and then it will start breaking. Fortunately for us, there are cosmetic products that has... put the artificial intercellular cement into a bottle. And most of the time, they call it a ceramides. Okay. Low lipidium. So what do you do when you go to the salon? You ask for a lipidium treatment or ceramide treatment. They do that. So then it injects the artificial intercellular cement into your fiber until the next wash. you know, until eventually the hair is able to repair itself. Mm-hmm. And then the damage, so basically treatment. Treat your hair. And again, talk to your hairdresser and let your hairdresser talk to you. And then the damage hairline, it depends what degree of damage it is. If your hairline now looks like your face, a hairdresser is not the appropriate person to go to. Now you need to go to a clinic, a hair loss clinic, to a hair loss specialist, because now they need to deal with you from inside out. They need to give you special shampoos and special conditioners. You need to get a special massage to stimulate your hair pores or your skin pores again. Yeah, so a hairdresser is not the correct person once your hairline looks like your face. So there are products who are claiming that they bring back your hairline. Once those poses are closed, nothing will open it. You can go and do implant maybe, you know. But there are hairlines that you can still see a little bit of fiber.
Yeah, there's still some hair there.
Yeah, that can still be, you know, worked on. Because what you can do is we just encourage the hair, whatever is left, to grow and be thicker. And yes, there are products who work on that to encourage the hair to grow and be thicker, the elasticity. And then the hair, as it grows and becomes thicker, it closes the gaps in between.
And what about people who have thin hair? Is there anything you can do? Or are they just, it's like those thin people you see who, whatever they eat, they never get fat. Does hair also do that? Shengi, this is a real question, and this is a deep-seated question for me, you know?
Yes, there are people who are born with a thin hair, fine hair, because like hair comes in fine, it comes in medium, and then it comes in coarse. So there are people who are born with fine hair, nothing wrong with that, you know? And there are products for fine hair that gives a volume to fine hair, that protects fine hair. Even with the relaxers, there are relaxers that are specially manufactured for fine hair so that they don't get over-processed.
You know, as you are saying all of these things, you've got to talk to the hairdresser. You've got to ask all these questions.
You've got to talk to your hairdresser.
I am just thinking about the number of hair salons, mm-hmm. Elokshin. You know, where we grew, where I'm from, at least, there are practically hair salons at every corner. So how do I know that this person here in this hair salon is the kind of hairdresser that's had like the full experience? It's not just the person who saying it is kupuse relaxer, a chali paka, and then read the back and now has a hair salon. Because this is a thing. This is a thing. People like that exist. Yeah. So how do I know? Is there some kind of accreditation? Is there some kind of something that people...
I love your question. I love that question. Okay. The salon industry has been perceived as an industry for survival. You know, it has been perceived as if, like, if you don't have anything better to do with your life, you can have a salon.
If you can't do anything else.
If you can't do anything. And that, unfortunately, this is a wrong perception about the industry. You know, and in a way that when people are looking at us as hairdressers, they ask you, Leng, I thought you were a graphic designer. Now, hair salon.
You know,
it's like, that's what my mom said to me. But
that's what every mother says. Like, what would a degree?
Really? Salon. Exactly. You know, but how do you know if I'm stepping into a right salon? Because most of the time as ladies or guys, we get nervous when you go into the salon because you don't know if what you want you will get, if they won't damage your hair. First of all, when you get to the salon, the way they receive you counts a lot. You know, you get people that you have to walk to and ask, and they still give you, like, what are you doing here?
A kind of attitude.
Yes.
A fail cake.
Exactly.
They look you up and down.
They look you. Thank you. They look you up and down. Number two, is the salon an answer to what I want? The image, the feel and look. I'm not talking about the expensive feel and look. Is it clean enough?
Are those towels washed?
You know, or they were sun dried? You know, that's number two. Number three, is this person interested in listening to me? Because most of the time we go to the salon frustrated, not knowing what to do. Is this person listening to me? Is she consulting with me or he consulting with me? Is she doing any analysis or diagnosis on my hair and scalp? You know, that also counts a lot. Because remember, when you go and buy your wine, most of the time you ask someone from the shop to say, I'm having a bride this weekend and I'm gonna be having a takey. What goes with takey? It's the same thing with the salon. You know, you have to have your consultation, you have to have your hair analyzed. So that is when you know what I'm at the right place. And also the conversations that you have with your hairdresser. If the conversation is around taking care of your hair, the advice, the hair product that should be used, then that person is a professional, good hairdresser. But if the conversation is around the boyfriends, you know, and everything
Mubango.
Exactly. You know, then this is a problem. And also when you go to the back bar, which is the shampoo area, the treatment they give you there, is it quiet? Is it relaxed? Because now you need to get that spa feeling. And am I getting a massage? You know, you get hairdressers or stylists who go to the back bar and say like, hey, Mzala! You know, at the back bar. At the back bar, this is where you should be closing your eyes and relaxing. So it's the little things, hairdressers out there, that counts. That, because I always say that at the salon, we don't sell services. We don't sell hairstyles. We don't sell relaxers. We don't sell shampoos. We sell emotions. We sell experience. We make people pay for the experience that we're giving them. You know, so that 80 rand you are charging, you actually selling an experience. So what kind of experience are you giving your client? I even tell my hairdressers at the salon, even at the college at L'Oreal, that, okay, see, you need to plan what kind of emotions, what kind of experience I want my clients to have today. So write it down, plan it, you know, because that's what we're selling. So once you give a client a good experience, good emotion, you have a right, or you are in control of charging whatever you want to charge. So you can move from 80 rand relaxer to 500 rand relaxer. And I get people who say, you know what, Lengi, even if it was 1,000 rand, I'll still pay.
So it's about that emotion.
It's about the emotion. It's about the experience.
You know, what I also get from you is I get passion.
Yes.
A passion for the hair. And a passion for the experience that you're giving. So you went from, and this is a whole other conversation with only 8 minutes left. I'm just going to very quickly say this. So you went from having a degree in graphic design and being in advertising and doing all of these amazing, wonderful things to being a salon owner. And now you are a hair loss specialist and you're teacher.
Yes, and I'm an educator.
Teaching.
Yes.
People who want to be hairdressers. People.
Yeah.
Very quickly, what is it that makes you so incredibly passionate about good hair?
You know, I was not always this passionate about hair. I grew up cutting my hair. So really, I was not interested in hair until I got introduced to hairdressing years ago. Still, I was not as passionate until I went to L'Oreal. The institute name. When I got there, I asked them, can you really train a person who knows nothing about hair? And they're like, yeah, like give us a year, we'll do it. When this was done, it was like I was born again. You know, when you feel like, I never knew this existed. Then they gave me an opportunity of becoming a trainer. That is where I saw my life just unrolling in front of me. I realized that I have passion for hair. I have passion for education. I have passion for actually changing someone's life, giving them a proper skill. And also I realized that there's so much niche in this industry, the beauty industry, in terms of education, in terms of running a proper professional salon. People are actually, I mean, so many people now, they becoming middle class, you know, they can afford. And
Go to the hair salon more than once every 3 months.
We get people who come to the salon every week, you know, and it's because of the relationships that we form with them. Some of them you can see, well, she's not here for the nails or hair. She's here for us. You know, so yeah, I think like being exposed to education and to see how much of a change I can be part of in the industry really bends me up.
Wow. Yeah. So before we say goodbye, You are the owner of Ginger Genetics.
Yes.
Which is?
Ginger Genetics is a hair and beauty salon. It's in East Rand Mall in Boksburg, opposite Capitec.
Advertising. Yes, so we do everything. Genetics, and there you do all types of hair.
All types of hair, everything, including nails.
So it's called Ginger Genetics, not just because you look after red hair.
Not because I look after red hair, but because I love people with red hair. You know those little kids with red hair? I love it. So this is why it's... But anyway, I wanted the brand to be accommodative to everybody. And then we have another one in...
And you do black hair and white hair?
Yes, I do ethnic hair and Caucasian hair.
Oh, Yamana. Ethnic and Caucasian. Get the terminology
but guys,
right.
Guys, hair is hair. Hair is 85% protein and about 12% water. So hair is hair. It doesn't matter whether it's Caucasian or ethnic. And then in Pietermaritzburg, we specialize in natural hair.
And the hair salon in Pietermaritzburg is called?
It's called Afrogem. We specialize only. We do no relaxers. We do no nails. Everything is about natural. We even say it's nagegelubuhle bakho mendalo. So, yes. So
we look after your natural.
Yeah, hair. We look after your natural beauty.
Wonderful. And your... handles, your social media handles, Ginger Genetics, and on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Facebook.
Okay, on Facebook is Ginger Genetics Salon. On Instagram is Ginger Genetics. And then on Twitter is... Twitter is complicated, isn't it? It's Ginger Gen at Ginger Gen X with an X at the end. And also my personal handle, it's Hlengi Hans Ngidi.
Hlengi Hans Ngidi. She's amazing. She's amazing, 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 amazing. When I met you, I was just like, this girl is so crazy about hair. And yesterday when I thought, I need to have a conversation about hair. Yeah. And this is the thing for me about living your passion and living is the only person I could think of that I could have this conversation with was you. So thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And coming through. One last thing before we go. If there are three things about maintaining, looking after your natural hair or your hairline, what should everybody remember if they don't remember anything else we talked about here today?
Treatment, at least once a month. Don't plait for more than unnecessarily. And please, no pulling. Talk to your hairdresser. Hairdressers, please talk to your client. And please don't pull their hairline.
Don't pull their hairline. I'm Phumi Mashego. We've been chatting about hair because everybody's chatting about hair. We are on Womandla. I'm back again next week when we're in full swing. Yes, spring.
This is CliffCentral.com.